Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to our award-winning podcast, where we dive deep into the latest cutting-edge research. I'm Tom, and alongside me is my co-host Jen.
Hello everyone. Today we're excited to unpack a fascinating new paper that explores why poor families often don't move to better neighborhoods, despite the potential benefits for their children. The paper is titled Why Don't Poor Families Move? A Spatial Equilibrium Analysis of Parental Decisions with Social Learning, and it's authored by Suzanne Bellew.
This is a really important question, Jen. We know that the neighborhoods children grow up in can have a huge impact on their future outcomes, things like crime rates, school quality, and access to opportunities. Yet, low-income families often remain stuck in disadvantaged areas. Bellew's paper provides a novel explanation rooted in how parents learn about the relevance of different inputs for their kids' development.
That's right, Tom. The key to this paper is that parents don't have perfect information about the technology of skill formation, in other words, how much their own actions, like time spent with their kids in the neighborhood environment, actually influence their children's future success. And crucially, parents learn about this through observing others in their local community.
Exactly. Bellew develops a quantitative spatial model where parents choose both the neighborhood they live in and how much time they spend with their kids. But they don't know the true importance of these inputs. They have to infer it by looking at the outcomes and histories of the people around them in their local area.
The twist is that parents can't perfectly account for differences in unobserved ability shocks that also influence their neighbors' outcomes. This selection neglect leads parents to systematically misinterpret the data they observe, causing low-income parents to underestimate how much their inputs matter, while high-income parents overestimate it.
Right, so this social learning process, combined with residential sorting, creates a self-reinforcing cycle. Low-income parents think their inputs don't matter much, so they invest less in their kids and end up in worse neighborhoods. Their kids then grow up with the same mistaken beliefs, perpetuating the cycle across generations.
That's a really elegant mechanism, Tom. To test it, Bellew calibrates the model to match a variety of data on neighborhoods, parental behavior, and intergenerational mobility in the U.S. And the results are quite striking. Even relatively modest levels of parental misperceptions have large impacts on inequality, social mobility, and aggregate economic outcomes.
Absolutely. The model shows that if you eliminate the selection neglect bias and give parents perfect information, it would increase social mobility by 14% and decrease income inequality by 3%. That's a really substantial effect coming just from fixing this information friction.
And the implications for policy are fascinating too. Bellew uses the model to evaluate housing voucher programs that help low-income families move to better neighborhoods. She finds that these policies don't just have direct effects, but also indirectly improve outcomes by correcting parental beliefs over time.
Yes, the key is that by getting families into better neighborhoods, the vouchers provide them with better information about the true returns to parental inputs. This then feeds back into the decisions, amplifying the initial impact. Interestingly, Bellew finds that a voucher program with more nuanced, neighborhood-specific rent limits performs better than a one-size-fits-all approach.
That makes a lot of sense. Allowing the rent limits to vary by neighborhood helps overcome the information frictions that arise from residential segregation. It's a great example of how smart policy design can harness general equilibrium effects to generate bigger impacts.
Absolutely. This is such an insightful paper, Jen. It really highlights how something as basic as how parents learn about the world can have profound consequences for inequality and social mobility. And Bellew's model provides a rigorous, quantitative framework for understanding these dynamics.
I agree, Tom. This is a fantastic example of how economic research can shed light on important social issues. By carefully modeling the cognitive biases and information frictions that shape parental decisions, Bellew is able to uncover mechanisms that would be very difficult to isolate empirically.
Definitely, and the policy implications are so important. If we can design housing voucher programs and other interventions that don't just provide resources, but also correct misperceptions, we may be able to break these cycles of disadvantage in a much more lasting way.
Absolutely. This is the kind of work that has the potential to really move the needle on some of our most persistent social challenges. I'm excited to see how this research evolves and what other insights it might uncover about the drivers of inequality and opportunity.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fascinating discussion. Belli's paper is a powerful demonstration of how rigorous economic modeling, combined with careful empirical analysis, can yield vital insights into the human experience. It's work like this that makes me so passionate about delving into the latest cutting-edge research.
Well said, Tom. This is exactly the kind of episode we love to bring to our listeners, deep dives into impactful, thought-provoking studies that challenge us to think differently about the world. I'm sure our audience will find this as fascinating as we do.
I agree, Jen. Before we wrap up, I just want to reiterate the key takeaways from Belli's paper. It shows how residential segregation and social learning with selection neglect can lead to systematic misperceptions about the importance of parental inputs, trapping low-income families in disadvantaged neighborhoods. But crucially, the research also suggests that well-designed policies like housing vouchers can harness general equilibrium effects to break these cycles of underinvestment. It's powerful stuff.
Absolutely, Tom. This is the kind of work that has the potential to truly shape our understanding of inequality and social mobility. We'll be keeping a close eye on how this research evolves and what other insights it might uncover. Thanks so much for joining us today, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of knowledge with us, Tom and Jen. Thanks for listening.
Here is a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a company that exists as a result of the Why Don't Poor Families Move? Paper, upbeat music plays.
Are you a low-income parent struggling to give your kids the life they deserve?
Have you been stuck in the same crummy neighborhood for years, despite wanting something better?
Well, have we got the solution for you. Introducing Neighborhood Finder.
Neighborhood Finder uses cutting-edge AI and sophisticated spatial equilibrium models to match you with the perfect new community, one that will actually help your kids thrive.
No more guessing about which areas have the best schools, lowest crime rates, or most opportunities. Neighborhood Finder does all the hard work for you.
Just answer a few simple questions about your family, and our algorithm will scour the entire country to find your family's ideal new home. It's like having your own personal real estate agent, but way quirkier.
So stop wasting time in that dead-end neighborhood. Upgrade your life with Neighborhood Finder. The future of social mobility is here.
Neighborhood Finder, because your kids deserve better than your parents' mistakes. Upbeat music intensifies as the Neighborhood Finder logo appears on screen. Announcer, Neighborhood Finder, elevate your family's future.